Praise the Lord. It's good to see the greeting and the loving on each other. That's awesome. I'm going to read from Psalm 37 this morning, a few verses. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was just thinking about that idea of delighting ourselves in God, and how that is a choice that we make, to delight ourselves. It's a choice that we choose to not look at our own circumstances, our own situations, and let those be what actually is gaining our focus, but the Lord and his heart and his desires and his very breath that's in us is what we focus on. So Father, we just come before you right now, and Lord, we just ask that you would allow, Lord, this day to be the day that you have made, and let us delight in it. Let us rejoice in it, Lord. Let us fill, Lord, this place, Lord, with your praises. Lord, let us fill this place, Lord, with thankfulness and gratefulness. God, let the gates, Lord, be opened up here today. Let thanksgiving, Lord, be a doorway, Lord, into your very heart. And we just turn this service, Lord, everything in this service over to you. We yield and we surrender, God, everything, Lord, that we have, and we place it in your hands where it already is. And we just bless the name of the Lord. We just bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Holy Spirit. We give you the sacrifice, Lord, of praise from our lips this morning. Because you're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You are good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, your love makes me sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, constant through the trial and the change. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on it goes. For it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. grace is an ocean we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us.
There are some of us that it's been a really, really long time since we felt the weight of His glory, since we felt the weight of His love to the point where it just absolutely makes us just want to just fall down. You guys, this place up here is open. I'm going to just tell you right now, the Spirit of God is so powerful here right now that if you need it, like you're desperate. Just feel that love, that overwhelming, overpowering, overshadowing, desperate need to feel His presence. I invite you, come up, because we are going to love on the Lord. And you know what is so amazing? When we do, He loves on us back. He loves on us back. There was this one woman, true story, she moved from a foreign country. And she was working in the United States, barely could speak a lick of English. And she went to a Bible study. She walked miles to get to this one church and sat in the back. Happened to just be there at the right time, at the right place. You know how God is like that? And it was a women's Bible study. And the Bible study leader invited her over for lunch. And when she got ready to leave, she wrapped her arms around that woman and gave her a hug. And the woman just burst into tears. And she said, it's been so long since I've felt the touch of another. That's the way God wants to love us today. Where we can honestly feel His touch. Where it's like, no one has to touch you, but you can feel it. You know it. It's there. It's powerful. So if it's you, come up. We're going to have church. We're just going to do it. So if you want to be loved on, God wants to love on you.
Been deserve it, still you give yourself away. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Inhibitions about where they're at. They are just living their life, laughing and enjoying and just feeling joy. And this is how God wants us in Him. And we're adults, so we think that we have these patterns of behavior we're supposed to conform to. You know, we have these things, we're supposed to act this way, we're supposed to speak this way, we're supposed to be politically freaking correct. And that's not right. We need to live in the joy of God. We need to just let His joy just flow through us. And sometimes if we look like a little, you know, child. So what? That's what he wants us as. He wants us to be a child in his presence. He wants us to just give it all up to him when we are in his presence, and give it up all for him when we are witnessing who he is to the people around us in our world.
To share this just really quickly. Thank you, Lord. God wants you to know that you're not condemned. Not condemned. He wants you to be free from all condemnation and anything internally that would just keep you from living a free life in him. You know, and there's an anointing just so you can be you in him. Be free from all condemnation. There's anointing. There's a presence of God that you can dwell in just for everyday life. Because God he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be free from all condemnation, sin, guilt, shame, and all those things that try to hinder you in your life. You know, God is really pouring it out these days. I just implore you just to get in and get in that. He wants to give it to you more than you know.
Yeah.
More than you know.
Yeah. Pursue, press, push, whatever it is you have to do. That's good. Amen. Rest. Yes. Good morning, everybody. Our babies are here.
Here, can you hold? You can't.
They'll be fine in a little bit, promise. They always are. We love babies here. We really do. So crawl wherever you want. I mean, not you grown-ups, but babies can crawl wherever they want. Mimi, it's so good to see you. Sandra. So yesterday I got to spend some special time with my twin sister. We don't hardly ever get to do what we did yesterday. And we drove out of town with me being the driver. And I was trying to remember the last time I drove on the freeway. Honestly. The last time I drove on the freeway, I was driving to California, and it was before Tim was born.
Really?
Or just after Tim was born.
Well, you've driven,
not on the freeway.
Me before.
No, not since then. It's been a long time. So God gave me freedom yesterday. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Because I have really had this fear in me about the 18-wheel truck since we had that accident a couple years ago. And I'm like,
oh, that's right.
I don't drive on the freeway. I've become his mother. I only drive in town. But now I'm just like, thank you, Lord, for freedom. And I drove all the way down to Tri-Cities, didn't even get lost, and drove all the way home. Aren't you proud of me?
Did the GPS?
Because I'm proud of me.
Did the GPS help?
Well, she was the navigator.
Oh,
so
there you go.
I'm glad she had GPS because then I could have got lost quite easily.
It's difficult for me sometimes with GPS because it tells you to go certain directions. And it's like, I don't think that's the way to go. You ever do that, Zeke? Probably. It'll put you in a lake, Zeke said. You know by experience. If I go that way, I'm in a lake. Yeah, that's funny. Well, praise the Lord. So we do have it confirmed now. The 27th of June, we're going to have a family night picnic over at Zeke and Terrace. They're going to open up their house, and you guys are at 1403 South Fifth Avenue. And we'll announce that on the text and stuff.
But
we're going to do barbecue and just hang out like family. Hey, good to see you. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, so Zeke and Tara's yard is completely shaded in the evening time by the time we have the picnic at 6, so it'll be just beautiful. It's fenced in so the babies can run around, and so we can just have a really good time and just be family.
Yeah,
so,
and eat.
And eat. We're going to eat a lot.
Don't forget eating.
So the 27th. So put that on your calendar, and then we'll make up cards the closer we get to hand them out. And invite your family and your friends, because this is a perfect time to reach out. That's the way I got into church, was being invited to an event instead of church. You know what I mean? So that's the way I came to the Lord, was being invited to something fun. And that's what it's going to be. Total fun.
Amen. So, total fun?
Total fun.
Okay. Well, let's take your word for it.
So. And I'll make the tres leches dessert, Gina.
No, you don't like tres leches?
She loves it. I thought it was you, Moses. Anyway. No, the dessert I made for you guys, you wanted the recipe? Yes, that one.
No. We wouldn't give you something you don't want. I mean, that would be terrible. Okay. So today we're going to talk about the scriptures testify of me. We're going to be continuing our study through John chapter 5, 31 through 47. Gay says that's a lot of verses. Plus, we're going to add a tag 4 on the beginning. So you're going to have to take a lot of breaths to do this, right? Okay.
But I'll do it.
Are you ready?
John 5, 26 to 30 says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me."
Let me go ahead and say something. So this was the finish of last week's, and last week's, that Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself." And Jesus was communicating that everything that he did was of the Father, was from the Father, through the Father, and through the Spirit. I mean, there was no separation. So if you want to know about that, that was last week's message. Go ahead.
John 5, 31 through 47. "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. For you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were the willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me."
So we're not going to go back to this, but this is Jesus communicating that they listened to John for a while. They listened to what he had to say and actually were excited about what he had to say about repentance and getting your heart right with God. And he's communicating now that John bared witness of him.
Right.
But that his witness by John isn't what really mattered. What really matters is what the Father, witnessed about him. And that's when Jesus went into the waters of baptism and came up and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." Okay.
So 37?
37.
"And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, he you will receive. How can you believe? Who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?"
Now, that was a lot. Now, this can sound like we're just reading some kind of like, ooh, this is pretty heavy. Well, this was heavy. This was Jesus communicating to the religious leaders, who were saying, again, we're going back to the very beginning of this chapter, when he heals the man who was by the pool for all those years and told him to pick up his mat and walk. And they go, "Hey, who told you you could pick up your mat and walk?" Well,
it's Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sabbath. Yeah, it's Jesus did. And so they get on Jesus saying, like, "What are you doing healing on the Sabbath? I mean, it's the Sabbath." And we learned that their hearts weren't right, because they weren't rejoicing that this man was healed. They were more concerned that something happened on their holy Sabbath. And so Jesus is challenging them in their ideas now. He's challenging, first of all, who he is. And he said, remember, "I can do nothing of myself, and the Father has sent me." And they're like, "You're saying you're equal with God. What is this?" And they're ready to, you know, pull out their hair and really get mad. So he's going to start now communicating to them about the idea of what they think that they've been looking for all their life. And that was the one that was standing right in front of them, but they missed him. So if we look here in John 5:39, it says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." New Living Translation says it this way: "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." So what Jesus is communicating to them, that when they're reading their scriptures, and their scriptures were like on tablets and rolls and scrolls, and they were you know, reading and studying to be in their eyes holy, but not just holy. They were able then to teach others, because they understood what those scriptures said. And because they understood it so well, they were now qualified to communicate to somebody else about what God was saying. And he's saying, listen, you search those scriptures, you read them, you study them, you know, every jot and tittle. Some of them actually were scribes, and they were rewrite them. I mean, they were given the task of, okay, this is the scroll of Isaiah. Now we need another copy for another place. You duplicate it. And so they were writing it down. I mean, they were, you know, reading, writing, they were speaking it out loud, and they were taking it in, and they were learning it, but they weren't seeing what they were about. It's like, how many times can we read the Bible and it's like, ugh, this is just boring? Anybody else? No. It's like, I mean, it happens, right? It's like, especially like a book like Leviticus or something like that. I mean, you know, you're looking at it, you know, to, for whatever reason, to either just learn something or gain some insight, or maybe even just, you know, get some answers you're looking for. And the problem is that you're not looking at it to see Jesus. When we read the word, We need to read the Word to see Jesus, because they are the very thing that points to Him.
I love about this is it's just like we were just talking about before we started about the GPS. This is the true GPS. This is the one that never fails us. This is the one that will not take us into the lake, because everything points to God. Everything points to Jesus. And so if we search the scriptures because we think they give eternal life, but the scriptures, the map that He laid out for us points straight to Him. Like, it's not going to lead us astray. It's just like that verse I was sharing with Junior about in the Psalms where He says He directs our steps. It's mm-hmm. almost like He puts His fingers back underneath my heel and lifts my foot and places it where He wants me to go. But if I'm going to just lock my knees and say, forget it, I'm not going that way, I'm the one that's in the wrong, because I'm not letting Him guide my steps. It's the same thing here. The scriptures, this map, points straight to Him.
Yeah. And the thing is that the scriptures to them were the closest thing that they really had to God.
Right.
But the problem was is that they weren't looking, like you said, what the scriptures were pointing at, because they were caught up so much in their laws and their rules and their regulations and making sure that everything was like they said to Him. You can't do that on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a holy day. And they didn't realize that somebody being healed on the Sabbath was a very holy and glorious act.
Right. Well, they had over, was it 600 or 700 laws? So I'm sure they were searching through all of those scrolls, all of those tablets. Like, how does He match up with this? Where does He, who they had right in front of them, where's He in this? And by the time they could find Him, it was already too late. They had already condemned Him. And, you know, so we need to be very careful. I mean, the Word is everything. It is the Word of God. But it should point to Him. It should not lead us ever astray. It should point straight to God. And if it doesn't for you, find somebody that can help you to understand. Because I even asked my husband in one of these scriptures, I'm like, okay, you're going to have to explain this to me because it's not matching up with what my brain is thinking. And he was able to do that. And so if that ever happens with you, there's no shame in that game. Just find somebody that can help you understand the scripture and pray and ask for a Holy Spirit.
Yeah. The Spirit of truth will teach you and lead you into all truth. Amen. So John 5:42, this is another key verse. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. And the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament says, but rather, I have come to know you folks by personal experience, that you people do not continuously hold God's love within yourselves. Now, this is a key, I believe, to how they became the way that they were. You remember Jesus when he gave the illustration of the good Samaritan? It was about, ask, who's my neighbor? And what ended up happening is that there was this man who fell among thieves way out in the boonies, you know, where there's nobody that is going to help. And so passerbys came by him. I think it was three. And one was a scribe. And one was, I believe, a Pharisee. And then a good Samaritan. And the scribe and the Pharisee walked on the other side of the road. They didn't even want to have anything to do with him, because they were obeying, in their eyes, God's law.
Right.
But the good Samaritan, who had love and compassion and charity for this one who he didn't know, who fell under this terrible plight, he washed his wounds, he bandaged them, he put him on his own transportation and walked him to an inn. And there he told the innkeeper, you take care of him until he's well, here's some money. And if it comes to more, I will pay you when I come back. Now, what was Jesus trying to communicate? He wasn't just trying to communicate who's your friend. He was trying to communicate how you love your friends and how love operates. And they just could not see that. And so Jesus is saying, what's happening here, folks, is not that you just have read the scriptures and twisted them, but you haven't received the love of God. You've made it so that you're so separated from God because you can't even keep his rules and regulations. You can't keep all of the jot and the tittles and every dot your I and cross your T, and in your heart you're being condemned, and so you want to condemn me. Have you ever noticed that when you have love, it's easy to give love? When you've been loved, you can love others. When you're being mistreated, guess what? It's really easy to mistreat others. When you've been wronged, guess what? It's easy to wrong others. But when you know that God loves you, and it doesn't matter how much others wrong you, you can love others. And so Jesus is saying, I know you. I know that you're not continuously living in the love of God. And so what is Jesus saying? I'm continuously living in the love of the Father. I mean, you see all these works of power and might and glory, and it looks like, you know, I'm some kind of super thing. What I am, I'm operating out of love. Because we know that it profits no one if they gain the whole world but lose their own soul. But it profits no one to sit there and speak with the tongues of men and of angels but not have love. It profits nothing. Right? So we need to realize that the love of God has to be in our hearts. And it is. The thing is that we are loved. When we were singing that song, Reckless Love, I mean, I love that line where it says that when I was your foe, when I was your foe, you fought for me. You made it so that when I had nothing, you paid everything that I needed to have paid for. So I want us to know that we are loved. And if we can receive that love, I believe we're able to drop this facade of religion. Because we're not worried about what others think of us when we know that we're loved and approved by God. I think most of our actions that we do is because we're always trying to get others to either think something of ourselves, think something of us, or we of ourselves, or to impress them, or to get people to like us. And if we can be loved and liked by God, I don't think people are going to have the influence on us that we let them have on us sometimes. John 5:43, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Here's the New Living Translation. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. So what Jesus is saying, if I had come and I said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, and I'm doing all these works as an ambassador of God to love people, and to, they would have been fine with him. But because he said, no, I'm God's son, I'm loved by the Father, and the Father has sent me. Now you have problems with me. Even though you would receive my works if I'd come in my own name. Isn't that crazy? Can you see how that applies to us sometimes? How we sometimes can't receive others because of who they're representing? You know, I've been around people who are... And this is not so much lately, but years ago when I would get around people who really had a connection with God, and you just knew they had a connection with God, and it was like close and intimate, and I would feel like slighted, or I would feel like inadequate. There's the word. I would feel like I'm not measuring up to this. And because of that, I would either discount the individual, or I would even mistreat them because I was looking at them through my inadequacies, not through their relationship. So I didn't let their relationship, and that's what they could have done. They could have let the relationship that he had with the Father inspire them to have that same relationship. Do you have something there? No, you're just thinking, oops. Let me do it here. It's not going to work.
Yes,
45. So this is where it gets a little heavy. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. So why is he saying this? Because the very scriptures that they were searching, which included Moses, were the ones that were going to testify of Christ and be the accusation against them. Because they communicated about Jesus, the one they were rejecting. He says, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. Now, how many have read the first five books of the Bible? I know Jesse has, a few of us have. Unless you read it with the filter of the Holy Spirit, you don't necessarily read about Jesus. You don't get that picture. Unless you read it with the love of God in your heart, you just see basically a story unfolding. Yes, you see Abraham, you see Isaac, you see Jacob, you see Joseph going into, you know, to prison and then coming to be second to Pharaoh, and then the Israel's coming to Egypt, and then they're there for 400 years, and towards the end of those 400 years they're in slavery and bondage. And but you don't see Jesus unless you have the filter of the Holy Spirit. When Isaac was being sacrificed and God stopped him, that was a type and shadow of Jesus. When Abraham received the promised child from Sarah's womb, when she was past the years of childbearing, that was a type and shadow of Mary bringing forth. And so there, I guess the truth is there, but you have to have the eyes to see. And I'm telling you, this is what I'm communicating today. If we get caught up in religion and we get caught up in rules and you know, meeting these standards, then we end up putting those same standards on others and those standards on ourselves, and we don't get to see Jesus as easy. It's hard to see him. When we're making it all about what we do and what we don't do, it's hard to see Jesus. But when we make it about the love of God, that we're loved, that we're accepted in the beloved. I mean, I think if some of us would just take time today or tonight when you're laying in bed and say, Lord, you've accepted me. You've accepted me. It's not based upon how I was living before, but it's how you love me. Vicki was talking about little children running around. Now, if they've come from a nice home, they know they're loved. They're not sitting and worrying, does my parents love me? Are they questioning that? I mean, maybe once they get older and they're not able to play Xbox or something like that, you know. They don't love me. They won't let me play Xbox 24 hours a day, you know. But when they're young and they're running around, I mean, your kids know you love them. And yet, us as the children of God, his children, we don't always know that we're loved. We don't always remember that we're loved. See, that perfect love that we talked about, that helps that mirror us see who we truly are and who God sees us. Cast out every fear, every doubt, every anxiety. And it is a reckless love. It makes no sense. I mean, I did not deserve God's love to chase me. But God's love chased me and captured me and captured my heart and transformed it. Amen.
It's really funny. I mean, I just feel like I need to put this down and go sit down because you're preaching right at me. Because I've just had so many hurts and pains in the last few years, and it's been people and the expectation that they're not meeting that I have. And the thought just came to me, when has it been more important to me that people love me more than Jesus loves me. Because if Jesus loves me like he does, their love really shouldn't matter. And when I get to the point where I recognize that his love is all that I need, no matter what the expectations are that I have, it's not what, the way they feel about me or what they've done to me or how they've hurt me, it's not going to matter anymore. And I remember one time I was working with a very good friend of mine that I went to church with, and at our job she was telling me how she and her husband years and years before had gone to counseling, and how the counselor told them, and this is the word that he used, or the sentence, you need to take the garbage out every day. And he's like, the husband's like, huh? Like, what do you mean? He's like, you need to take the garbage out every day. And he goes, I don't get what you mean. Well, whatever went into the garbage is garbage. It's refuse. It's nasty. And if you don't take it out, and then you put tomorrow's in on top of today's, and then the next day's in on top of tomorrow's and today's, what's down there that you never took care of the first day is going to begin to reek. And it's going to begin to ooze out this odor. And that's what I've let happen in my life. I have failed to take the garbage out every day. There's a reason why it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That's not talking about me and him, though it does. It means me and everybody else, too. So if I let all that garbage pile in the bottom and I don't take it out, and then I let tomorrow, and I have, guys, my garbage can is so full, it's like only God's going to be able to lift that bag out of that bucket and just take it. And he can. For me. For you. He can do that.
But you have to let him.
You have to let him. You do.
Yeah. Sometimes the Lord opens up the trash can and we see everything. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, let me take this from you. Oh, no, not right now, Lord. And we close the trash can. And then on top of it, we'll lift it, but it's to put more junk in it. And we mix it with the stuff that we have. And some of us actually dig in the deep in the trash can and pull up something that's rotted and look at it. And use that as a motivation for bitterness. And the thing is that it is an illusion. It's a total illusion, because we are in Christ. So what we're doing is we're believing a lie that circumstances and situations and hurts and things that were done to us are more powerful than us being in Christ. They're more powerful than the love of God, which has been shed abroad in our hearts. Now, I don't know what it would look like if I was to shed abroad, you know, a paint gun right now. It would probably be all over every single one of us, because it sounds like it really gets all over everything. And that's what the love of God is in us. But the illusion seems more real than love, because we're full of hurts and we're full of bitterness and anger. So this brings me to a testimony. I shared this at a Bible study a couple weeks ago. So those of you who were there, just hang tough. But over the past month and a half, I've been dealing with some issues with individuals. And I basically let it, when I found out some stuff, I said, Lord, I'm just going to put this in your hands. I'm going to see how it all just unfolds. And so it all unfolded like I was, like the horror of the way that I thought it was going to. And so when it all came down, this was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago maybe, I was like shocked. I was hurt. I was enraged. I wanted to get on the phone. I wanted to take matters into my own hands. And yet something said, no, I can't do that, you know. And when I was communicating with an individual, I was being as cordial as I could. I wanted to say, ta, 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 on my text, you know, all caps, whatever, exclamation points. What were you thinking? You know, but I just said, no, I can't do that. I can't go there because I can't communicate that way by text. And so I just kept waiting for them to call me because obviously they need to call because of this situation. They need to call and communicate what was going on, why they did it. And so, nope. Because we're in relationship, yeah. I mean, you know, it was. I thought that we were in a communication relationship. So here is a situation that I can get embittered over, that I can be frustrated, that I can be angered, that I can be resentful, that I can let this become something that eats at me and starts to affect my joy and my peace and my tranquility. And so we were driving back from actually Jesse's mom's viewing, and I was just driving along in the car, and this had been just a day, and I guess maybe that I didn't think, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. But all I knew is that this feeling that I had was not the peace of God, that these thoughts that I was driving down were taking me away from receiving the love that I could rest in. And so I chose to do something. It says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace where we can find help and mercy in time of need. So I just, in my heart, I just said, Lord, I'm going to come before your throne of grace right now. And I bring these individuals with me in my heart. And I clasped their hands by faith. And I, like I tell people, I don't know for sure if they were with me, but in my heart, they were with me. And one couple was on one side, another couple was on another side, and I just blessed them. I said, Lord, I just pour out your love on them right now. Lord, I don't know why they did what they did, but obviously there's situation going on in their life, and I just bless them. Lord, I ask you to bring increase. And so I just bless them. Ask them to be filled with the love of God. That any fear and any anxiety that was in their heart that caused them to operate the way that they did. And then I went to the other couple and I did that. Now, I can tell you that, you know, I've forgiven people before, but as I've learned that, you know, it's, you know, it says that if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's already committed, the imagination is powerful, already committed adultery. So I was believing in my heart that they were there with me in the very presence of God. Because, you know, when we all die and we're with God, in the kingdom, in heaven, wherever you want to call it, in this other unseen realm, and we see them, it's not going to matter what happened. I won't even think about it. Because the illusion will be gone. And what will I see is the one who was loved by God. And I was loved. And oh my goodness, we are one. There's a divine connection between us. We are all part of that divine body of one. And so when I released them, I thought, oh man, that felt good. And I just drove home and, you know, and parked the car. And later on, I think I told Gay, and she's like, oh, you did what? And it's like, you know, I said, yes, I did. I had to, you know, and I said, it's nothing on you. It's not a, it
I
was about,
I don't think that I said, oh, you did that. All I could think of was, how could you do that?
Yes.
So quickly. 'Cause like a girl, I want them to pay, you know. I did. I want them to pay. And so I'm just like, and then it's like, oh, you know. But anyway.
So what ended up happening is that that whole situation was given over to the Lord. It was no longer an issue. And when I brought them back up in my heart, all I could see is the love of God for them. It's as if I'd already transferred to the other side in my heart with them. So if they were walk down this aisle right now, I'd probably want walk up and embrace them. Even though it in the natural, they don't earn it, they don't deserve it. but I gave myself away. Just like Jesus. I acted like Jesus towards him. I said, you know what, Lord? You have your love in me, and that love is what can allow me to do that. That's not me. That's not Mike Lindell having the ability to do that. That was God's love that has been penetrated into my heart that I remind myself. I don't know if you guys do this. I remind myself periodically, maybe daily. You love me. Wow. You love me. This old wretched pile of bones. You love me. You know, I just remember that God loves me. And because I'm remembering God loves me, it's transforming me into who he is. I mean, for years, I used to memorize the scripture and, you know, love takes no account of record or wrong and love suffers long. I mean, all those things. And I would try to live that out. But in your own strength, you fail. But in God's love, it's totally possible because it's not you. It's his love in you. So the next day, I'm on the phone with somebody and they're telling me, we're doing such and such that had to do with this event that took place. I said, you're doing what? And they said, no, yeah, we feel in our hearts that we want to do this for you. I said, why? You know, it didn't make any sense. I said, okay, well, thank you. You know, then I get another call 3 days later and we want to do this. And I'm telling you, this is wife now saying this. My husband's never done this. He just says, I want to bless Pastor Mike. And so they did a whole bunch of work that reversed some of the damage that had been done. And I was at the end of that day, I was going, Lord, why is that happening? He goes, you released it. You put it into my hands. You gave it into the kingdom. Now it's my business. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that the love of God, that reckless love, can transform and change you to the place where your love that is weak and incapable of doing anything will be superseded in a way that you will act and respond and care for others that transforms their lives. I'm here to tell you that I bet right now those four individuals are moving forward in God because I'm not caging them up in a hurt, in bitterness, and causing them to continue to respond in that hurt. Because I know that if I'm this free, they have to be that free. And if there's others that have to forgive them for whatever other stuff they did, I believe that that will come too, because I believe God's hand is upon the situation now. And why did I say that? I said that because those poor Pharisees did not continuously remain in the love of God. That's what the Greek says. So it means that they received the love every now and then, but they couldn't remain in it. I believe the only way we remain in Christ is when we remain in God's love. And that is that. Does anyone have anything else to share? Zeke?
Well, you know what you were going through? Uh-huh. I've been through that, and you've helped me through it. It made me realize that, Pastor Mike, you are a man who walks the walk and talks the talk. You know, it's easy to, you know, like if I you know, spoke over Junior or maybe his issues, but maybe I couldn't do that in my own life. But I've had the situations that you've helped me with over the years, and I remember reading some of this maybe 10 years ago when I first started going to church, and but you know, like your testimony, this is his testimony, right? So. And I remember my testimony was similar, but, you know, I didn't have the love of God like you do, you know. You better understand the person. And, well, I just remember when, you know, I could feel that anger. I could feel what you were going through by the story, by your testimony today. But I remember when I was in a place where anger felt good to me. I know you remember me telling you, but anger, it felt good to be mad. And it felt good to hate someone. It felt good, you know. It was what fueled me to to be the person who I was before I came back to God, you know. And I remember what you were telling me, what you were just telling the church, you know, is to love those people. Not to hate the people, but love them, you know, and forgive them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just to hear you say it, like, gives me chills. Just to hear you say what you taught me to do. And I have to be honest with you. I mean, and I know what you went through to let that go, because you're just a human being like me.
Exactly, yeah.
And I've made my mistakes just like you've made yours. You've chosen, you know, to fix those in a different way that I did. But let me tell you just what you're telling everyone, just because I've been your friend for some time now. We've been friends for quite a while, for a long time. You know, I mean, everyone knows that, you know, with me, I've never kept friends this long. You know, because I've never really liked anybody this long. I really don't. You know, that's just how we grew up. You know, you don't like people. That's just the way it is. But you know what, Pastor Mike? Just hearing you in that story, you know, I've always told you that, you know, if I speak to someone, I could feel what they feel. And I could almost tell you what God wants me to tell you, because I can almost feel your heart. But God loves you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you, God.
And I praise you for what you've done. Yes, that's what, you know, I don't know how you take it, but when I say you're a man who walks the walk and talks the talk, not everyone can. You know, I've seen a lot of great men that could tell you this is the way you need to live, Zeke, but yet they can't. You know, Pastor Mike, I truly am your sheep. You know, when our pastor retired and he left us as a flock to you, I promised God that I would always follow you. You know, and Pastor Mike, you're a good man. And I love you, and my family loves you.
And I
praise God for what he's done for you and Gaylene. I would never left you. I've always believed in you. And, you know, your advice to me, it's changed my life as a man. I'm not the man I was 10 years ago. You know, some of the people who've done me wrong, well, before you, that they probably wouldn't be around, Pastor Mike. But after you, those people, you know, I see them in the street, and they say hi. And, you know, a little part of me still, I have to admit, you know, I could say that it feels good not to like them, but, you know, I the issues that I had with them, and you've known those issues because you've been with me in this walk in the last probably 11 or 12 years. But, you know, you see them and I'll shake their hand, you know, because I look at them as the person who they are, not what they've done to me. Either way, I don't want to go forever, but Pastor Mike, I love you.
Love you, you too,
know,
bro.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I have always prayed for us. I prayed for my family and I prayed for you, along with everyone else, but you in particular, because I know in the last few years, things have been tough for all of us, you know, and a man of faith is a man of faith, but easily another man could have failed by now.
Well, it's all the grace of God. That's all I can say. It's the love of God that enables me and empowers me. And it's the same love that's driving you. When you went and shook those individuals' hands, that was love. Praise God. Anyone else? Roger.
Come on, Roger. Tell her love God.
What's that? Oh, yes. If God didn't love us, our joy in God would never be complete. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Father. Well, let's just do this. Let's just take, we're gonna do an exercise. Let's just stand for a moment. We're just going to put our hand in our heart. And as hard as it is, I want you to say, God, you love me. And I don't want you to just say it. I want you to let it penetrate into your heart. So you may have to say it like extra loud, or you may have to say it soft, but make sure that when you say it, you're letting that affect your heart, because that is where it needs to affect you, is in your heart. Not just your psychological brain. Oh yeah, God loves me. No, it needs to get into your heart where the issues of life spring forth. So, 1, 2, 3. God, you love me. Again. God, you love me. God, you love me. God, you love me. Lord, you love me. All my failures, all my weaknesses, all my doubts, you love me. And all my anger and my resentment and pride, you love me. And all my successes and all my triumphs, you love me. God, you love me. Help that love to stay continuously in my heart, Lord. Help it to not fade away, Lord, like paint that's been sitting in the sun too long and oxidizing, Lord. Let it be sealed by the Holy Spirit right now. You love me. I am the child that God loves. You love me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So the next time you feel like you can't forgive someone or you can't let go of something, take your hand, put it on your heart. Forget about them. Just remind yourself that you're loved. Remind yourself that God so loved you when you were still the worst thing on earth, that he gave himself for you at that time, that you became his prize, that you became valued once again because that blood cleansed and purified and washed you, and your rightful place as a son and daughter was restored. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, blessings. You have a wonderful day and a good week. Love you.